for some of the saints who were not with us last night, we have decided that in this weekend, little weekend conference, blending conference, to cover this subject. Say that again.
Four new things in God's economy.
Four new things in God's economy. And these are not just any four new things, because there are many new things. Can you name some in the New Testament? Well, I can think of some. How about the new wine?
Amen.
How about the new wineskin? How about the new garment?
Amen.
How about the new cloth?
Amen.
Am I right? What?
New name.
A new name. I will give them a new name. Yesterday I mentioned a new song. What else? Yes. In fact, you have here in Ezekiel 36, 25, and 27, where as part of that new covenant, God promised that he will give us a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, right? So many new things in the Bible. But these four new things, I would say, are the most essential. They are the top four things in God's economy. Now, this morning, we come to the second one. Last night, we covered a new covenant. I don't know whether you remember that, whether you slept over that, or you just forgot about it. What did we talk about last night? You know, by the way, let me say something. I really feel many things in our church life needs to be renewed. Many, many things, trust me. Even your Christian life and your Christian practice needs a renewing. And needless to say, our corporate church life, the way we meet, the way we serve, desperately needs renewing. You know, even this morning, the way we sang number 16 needs renewing. Brother, that's the old way of singing. Why? There's no spirit there. There's no spirit. It's just this man calling, let's sing number 16. And we turn to number 16. Some were still talking. Others were still, I don't know what you were doing there. And some half-heartedly open to it. And so when we start singing, it was like we're all in the ICU. Is that what you call it? Intensive care unit with all kinds of tubes and even a mask. And we're barely breathing. And half conscious. And that's how we sang that song. Do you not agree with me that we need a renewal?
Amen.
Something is missing. Some newness, freshness, vitality, vigor is missing. Freshness is missing. We have become old. And I will tell you, last night I took some time in the beginning to contrast oldness with newness. And brothers, this second law of thermodynamics is really working. Really working. That everything in this universe is in a process of going into a disorderly state or a chaotic state, including not just the stars, you know, the new stars is formed and eventually they die. Am I right? These stars would die. So the whole universe is actually, and I'm not an astrophysicist, I'm not a scientist, I have no, you know, no such background, and I have no research or study. I don't know any of those things. I just know the Bible. And the Bible tells me that everything in this universe, due to that source, a source of rebellion, a source of evil, the source of Satan himself, who once was an archangel, leading the worship of all the angelic beings to God. He had it in his heart that that's not good enough. I deserve more. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I came out of his heart. And that I resulted in his insubordinance and rebellion. He led a third of the angels with him. And because of that, and I don't know how many billions of years ago that happened, I don't know, a kind of contamination of this universe took place. And everything was contaminated by that rebellious element. And so evil came in. Death came in. Corruption came in. And decay set in. From that time on, this whole universe, it just in that kind of a decayed state. And you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the first verse, it says, in the beginning God created. That was the first creation, the most initial creation. Before that, there was nothing but God himself. The Big Bang, or whatever it was that happened, when he called nothing from nothing into something, right? Amen. What is not being into being? This tremendous creational act of God. There's nothing. Then something came into being. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And that was God's first work, the work of creation. And I would say, the work of the old creation. God has mainly two works in this universe. Two works. One, the work of the first creation. The second, the work of the second creation. And the first creation is called the old creation. And the second creation is called the new creation. Other than these two things, God have no other work. No other work. And his first creation is for the second. The old creation is for the new creation. Because it is the materials of the old creation that he used to make, to produce the new creation. So in this sense, the old creation is necessary. It must be there. But that is not the consummation. That is not God's goal. God wants a new creation. Amen. Out of the old. Amen. Out of the old. So from the old heavens, he would make a new heaven. From the old earth, he would create a new earth. Amen. And from the old people, he would make a new people. And I don't mean us, just a new people. Some new peoples. But the crown of his work, the crown of his work, the centerpiece, the masterpiece, the poema of God's work is that he would take the old man, the top of his old creation, that man that he made in his image and according to his likeness, that man who still belongs to that old creation, to take that man and put himself into him. Amen. Dispense himself with his life and his nature, which included all of his divine essence and elements, into that old creation. This man that represents the old creation because he's the top creature that he made in a special way. Amen. The heavens does not have his image. It has his characteristics according to Romans 1. You look at the old creation today, you have to say you see God there. Am I right? But not God's essence, not God's personal element. Merely God's characteristics, his divine characteristics. You can see it, Romans says. Who can say there's no God? Look at the universe. Look at the characteristics. Look at this universe that is so orderly. Am I right? Look at this universe that is so magnificent. Look at this universe that is so majestic. Look at this universe that is so beautiful, so colorful. Look at all the things. Look at all the trees. You will see the hand of God. You will see the characteristics of God. But you actually don't quite see God. But that is enough to astound. Am I right? Go sit at 5 o'clock in the Dome Rock in Yosemite. I think you will feel quite close to God. Every human being, even an unbeliever, they will feel something inside when they look at this creation, the old creation, because it is filled with God's characteristics. The heavens he made, the stars that he made, and the multiple umpteen creatures even, full of life. You look at the animals, look at the fish, look at the fowl. Look at the flowers, look at the fauna, look at all these physical things. No one can stare into space from one of these huge modern telescopes, radio telescopes, or whatever they are, and not be in awe. Am I right? Amen. Not feel so incredibly small. The vastness of this universe, who can know it? Some people say it's still expanding. We're just in a tiny little neighborhood, you know? Tiny speckle, less than a speckle, like sand in the ocean compared to this universe. Our Milky Way is one of the smallest there is. It'll take multiple light years, millions of light years, billions, who knows? Light years, not years, light years to go to the other side, if there is another side. That's the old creation. And all the heavens he made, that he stretched, is for the earth. In all of this, today, the scientists have still not found another planet, another star that is suitable for man to live. They're trying to make it happen. They're trying to wish it into being. I tell you, they won't find it. And out of all of this is this little ball that have just the right condition for H2O, you know, for water to exist, for life to live, for grass to grow. I have not yet seen any pictures of any planets that is like this. It's just all barren. Am I right? Full of craters and rocks. I don't know why we spend so much money to go to the moon when it's just nothing but a piece of barren real estate not suitable to live in. Why won't we just stay here and enjoy life? God stretched the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, this planet. There's no other planet like this one. And he made the spirit of man within him.
Amen.
He made that creature, that very special creature, that's you and I. Unlike any other creature that he made. I found recently, because I have a dog, so I study a little bit about dogs. I found out dogs are incredibly intelligent. They are not called man's best friend for no reason. I was told that dogs can read your emotions, can read your body language. Cats can't do it. Sorry, cat lovers, huh? Dogs can do it. But no matter how intelligent Gus, that's my dog, my border collie is, compared to man, it's nothing. Man is not just intelligent. Man has those emotions. Man has that will. And to top it off, man has a spirit.
Amen.
Let me tell you, that spirit, with that soul, is created in preparation for the second creation.
Amen.
For the new creation.
Amen.
That's how important the human spirit is. But in any event, outwardly, we're made in God's image, made according to his likeness. Even that, as a photograph of God, is what is in preparation of the new creation. Because the new creation is simply God expressed in man.
Amen.
It's simply the Creator joining the creature. Is simply this triune God becoming one and mingled with this tripartite man in a corporate way, becoming his expression, his living out. That's the new creation. That's the new creation. What we're going to talk about this morning. Now, That, O creation, was contaminated, as I said, became toxic by the satanic rebellion. And so that through the whole O creation, and this is verse 2 of Genesis 1, including the heaven, the earth, into darkness. Into darkness, into death. No light, no possibility of life. Everything talk about chaos, that's what happened in verse 2 of Genesis. Somewhere, sometime, eons ago, something happened to cause this creation that God made, which was pure, to corrupt. And it was at that time that God came in to did a recreation of the old creation. That's not the new creation. That's just a recreation. And in this recreation, he made man. Amen. He made man. And placed him on the earth. And immediately after he made this man, he did something quite particular, even peculiar. Not only he set him in Eden, this beautiful paradise of a garden, he put man in front of the tree of life. There's a tree of life. And he cautioned man not to eat of another tree, called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You study that tree, you'll find the source of that tree. Someone who knows good from evil. Someone who embodies good with evil. And that would be, again, the source of that is Satan. This tree of life is what? Is God in the form of food to be life to man. Right there, in Genesis chapter 2, man was enjoying the heavens and the earth. But right there in chapter 2, God's purpose, God's ultimate purpose in this universe was revealed. And that is that this old creation, this part of the old creation, this man, this Adam, this red clay Adam, that's the name of meaning of Adam, who have been built, formed, created with the spirit, with a human spirit, with this organ, with this capacity, like no other creature, to make contact with God, to receive God, even to contain God. This one, by being placed in front of the tree of life, already tells us a story, already revealed to us what God wants. And that is this man would eat that tree.
Amen.
By eating that tree, he would have done something no other creature of the old creation could do or had done. And that is that God himself, the life of God, the nature of God, the essence of God, the element of God, which is all divine, would be able to enter into one part of the old creation.
Amen.
of that first creation, and that is man. And by doing this, God would do an unbelievable, fantastic work of actually uniting himself with man, mingling himself with man. That is part of the old creation. And by doing that, making this part of the old creation new. Making this part of the old creation divine. You say, why on earth did God have such an intention? I don't know, because I'm not God. I can only tell you what his word tells us. Amen. This is just what God wants. That's why he made the whole universe, for this to happen. That's why the heaven exists. That's why the earth is here, so that we can receive God.
Amen.
But man did not eat that tree. In fact, man did the opposite. Seduced by the serpent to eat of that toxic tree. That tree whose source is responsible for the fall of the universe, for oldness to come in, for decay to come in, for corruption to come in, for vanity to come in. Man ate that same of that same source. So instead of becoming new, becoming God, receiving the life of God, the eternal life of God, eternal, something that will never grow old. Not only in time, but in quality, eternal. He took the wrong thing. And that thing sped up what? The decay. Sped up the aging process. And from that point on, listen, man became an old man. The old man. You know the New Testament? Is full of this phrase, the old man. Not the bad man. Not the ugly man. That's okay. It's the old man. So you ask, tell me, what is the old creation? What is the old creation? I'll tell you now. The old creation is simply our old man in Adam. Our old man in Adam. The man that inherited the Adamic life, the Adamic nature. That man. That man that came to us by birth, the natural being that we receive from our parents by birth. And the main thing that characterized this old man is not just sinful or this or that. The main thing with this old man is that it is a being without God's life, without the divine nature. That, I would say, is the definition of the old creation. You say, what is the old creation? If any man is in Christ, He is a new creation. What is that? What is that? Well, first you have to realize what is the old creation. That is a man not in Christ. Amen. Am I right? Amen. It's very logical, right? A man out of Christ, a man apart from Christ, a man that has nothing to do with Christ, who is the triune God himself. This man is the old man, the old creation. Then what is the new creation then? What is the new creation then? The new creation is simply the new man in Christ. This what? This means our inner being, our being, that has been what? That has been not only redeemed, which is a procedural matter, because sin has come in, transgressions and all of this, and that has to be dealt with by redemption. But not only that, but ultimately a being, an inner being, that has been regenerated by the Spirit. Amen. Regenerated by the Spirit. And that's why I stress the importance of the human spirit. Amen. A dog cannot be regenerated. It doesn't even have a spirit to be regenerated. But we do. Amen. And that spirit, you all remember, is made by God, not calling it into being, not forming it with dust. You know what? He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and that is the human spirit. It is not God himself, but is something very close to God. In fact, it comes from the breath of God. Amen. That's the human spirit. Amen. It is absolutely proper to say there's something divine in every human being, even the unbeliever. It is not the divine being himself. It has no divine life or nature. But it is something divine. And that is eternity. Man longs for God. Man wants to worship God. Man wants something. Man is inclined to seek God, the higher being, because of the human spirit. Dogs would never do it, no matter how intelligent they are. They just after that bone or that at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, every human being stares at the stars, look at the universe, and put their heart over here and say, what am I doing here? Who am I? What's the meaning? Maybe there is a God. That's the human spirit. And what is the new creation? The new creation is simply our inner being that has been regenerated by the Spirit, John 3. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, which has now God's life being regenerated, has God's life and possesses God's nature, both of which has been wrought into this being. And now Christ, the very expression of the triune God, the very embodiment, I should say, of the triune God, is his sole constituent. That is the new creation. The new creation is not like that. Oh, some kind of thing, some kind of, you know what I mean? The new creation, you may say, is a what? Is a new constitution. The new creation, as we will see later, even is a new condition. The new creation is a new being. individual and corporate. Where God is mingled with man, there is the new creation.
Amen.
When a man is being put into Christ, which means man come into a union, an organic union with Christ, there is the new creation.
Amen.
When a human spirit is regenerated by the divine spirit to become one spirit, there is the new creation.
Amen.
Are you clear now?
Amen.
So the difference between the old creation and the new creation is that in the old creation, God has not been added. There's the absence of the element of God. But in the new creation, or the new creation, is where he has successfully dispensed himself into that man, that human being. Right away, the new creation comes into being. You know, Adam, no matter how good he was, how pure he was, even before the fall, has no God. God is still outside of him, so he is still part of the old creation. He may be even good, but he is without God. So he has no divine element within him, so that he is still part of the old creation. A creation without the divine element. Well, I think now we're all quite clear. The new creation is simply God added to man.
Amen.
The divine essence mingle with the human essence. The divine life coming into the human life. That is the new creation. So, I have a lot of verses. You know, last year I said already, I came here with one verse a meeting. Remember last year? Ephesians 5, I still remember. The church-loving Christ, one meeting. The church-sanctifying Christ, the second meeting. And the church-presenting Christ, the third meeting. Something, I forgot, what was the fourth meeting? Huh? Was it church? Church loving Christ. Okay, whatever. That's a bit old, right? But this time, last night you were not here, I filled the board with verses, even though at the end we didn't read them. I felt a bit sorry. By the way, let me say something, brothers and sisters. In the old days, we all come to the meeting with our Bibles. Nowadays, I find many saints don't even bring their Bibles with them. They just come here. Now, I'm not trying to make it legal or make it, you know, this is a form. But brothers, there's something to be said about how we treasure the Word of God. How we depend on the Word of God. And in those days, we did not have the recovery version. We have something called the King James, which is highly inaccurate. Beautiful in prose, but inaccurate in translation. So we would be in meetings and spend quite a part of the meeting just changing the King James. I can show you my old Bible, just changing the King James according to Greek, etc. And after the changing, then we will read them. And after we read them, we will pray read them. By the end of it, half of the meeting was over. We love God's Word in this way.
Amen.
Today, we have the best translation and we don't even bring it. And many meetings, we don't even read the verses. I like to have a change. I like to come back to the Bible. I want all of us to read it.
Amen.
Not just assume the speaker knows it and I'm okay. You don't even know what it talks about. You're believing me blindly. You have to check what I'm speaking. Is it based on the word of God? Like the Bereans. They're more noble, it says. Well, my point, brothers, we have so many verses, and these verses are here for a reason. But many of us don't care for that. But anyway, I'll make some reference to that. You go home and read it. Well, this verse in 2 Corinthians, the verses we read, right? That has the word new creation in it. So then, if any, well, we have to read the verse before. Paul, this is Paul. So then, we from now on know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ even according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. This is the verse. This is the verse. This tells us that the new creation is entirely out of the realm of the flesh. The flesh. And I don't mean just your physical flesh, but the flesh of man. The fallen flesh. Even the good flesh that God has made is all part of the old creation. If anyone somehow is in Christ, and brothers and sisters, are you in Christ?
Amen.
And how did you get into Christ? One day you were out of him. You were apart from him. You had nothing to do with him. And somehow one day you got to become a man in Christ. Amen. The apostle says, I know a man in Christ. Amen. Talking about himself. Amen. He distinguished himself by only that. That should be our characteristic. What kind of man are you? Are you a good man? You're still a man in the flesh if you're a good man. You have to say, you know what I am? I'm not just a man. You know that song, oh, I'm a man, I'm the meaning of the universe. That's not good enough. You have to say, I am a man in Christ.
Amen.
That's me. You want to know me? Forget the old me. You want to know me? I am a man in Christ.
Amen.
You will not find me anywhere else but in Christ.
Amen.
In, that little word in, is a powerful word. It is a huge, big word. It implies everything in God's economy. In simply means union. Union. When I ate the breakfast this morning and got into me, it's in me, that means that food become what? Became part of me. Am I right? There's a joining, there's a blending, there's a mingling, there's a union. In implies all of that. I am a man in Christ.
Amen.
That means I'm a man one with Christ. I'm a man joined to Christ. I'm a man mingle with Christ. And I do that by two things. Number one, by believing into him. And number two, by being baptized into him. By these two acts of believing and being baptized, I am in Christ. So John says we believe into Christ. Romans 6, it says we are baptized into Christ. So when someone believes in Jesus, we all have to celebrate. And when someone gets baptized into Christ, we all have to celebrate.
Amen.
That is the greatest thing that can happen to any human being.
Amen.
Because that moment, he ceases to be part of the old creation. he becomes a new creation. The old things have passed away. The old things have passed away. You know that word old there? Strictly in Greek means ancient. I mean, it means really old. How old are you? How old are you?
34.
Wow, that's just your physical age. Your age in the old creation, that's what I'm asking. Ancient. How ancient? You say at least 6,000 years old. Man, that is old. I mean, you are a fossil. You are a... You are old. I mean, that's how old we all are in the old creation. I'm as old as Adam. And with all those old ancient things, all those old ancient things have passed away. Passed away. Is that wonderful?
Amen.
Behold, they, meaning these old things, have become new. God, listen, did not discard the old things. His way is not like throw them away and I'll make something new. No, he didn't. As sinful as we became, as much as we caused pain in his heart, as much as we failed him through our transgression, God did not throw us away like an old rag and make something new. No, he would not let us go. That's the love of God. But he cannot tolerate us being in that state. So God's salvation is to make us new. God's salvation is renewal by coming into us in the person of the Son, who is the life-giving Spirit,
Amen.
To be life to us.
Amen.
And so here it says, behold, they have become new. I like this. I like Paul's utterance here. This behold is like I'm reading the footnote here, a call to watch the marvelous change of the new creation. It's like Paul saying, all the angels, come. All the demons, come on. Watch, watch. Here's a man. 6,000-year-old man. An old man. Even a man to the evil spirits, to the devil, Satan, that you have corrupted. You have made even more old, more ancient. You put something in him like a form of poison to make him just get old, to get wrinkly, to get spotty, to get weak, to decay, to corrupt, and to die. And when you die, you fall apart. You disintegrate. That's the work of death that was introduced to the universe, to the whole old creation. This man, behold, behold, he is now in Christ.
Amen.
He is a new creation.
Amen.
I, God, did it. Shame on you, devil. In spite of all that you try to do, I made a new creation out of the old one.
Amen.
Here's a man who has my life,
Amen.
My nature,
Amen.
My element,
Amen.
My essence.
Amen.
I succeeded to be one with him.
Amen.
Behold, behold,
Amen.
This is a call
Amen.
To look at this marvelous work. That marvelous change, even there's a change. You know this verse in Titus we didn't read? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That regeneration which is carried out long term through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out in us, upon us, is a work of remodeling,
Amen.
Reconditioning,
Amen.
Rebuilding,
Amen.
Retrofitting.
Amen.
This old crumbly building with a big sign, illegal, not fit for inhabiting, now because of God's life coming in. Not from without, but from within. Making him a new creation in his spirit. And now through the process of renewal of the Holy Spirit, day by day, minute by minute, through the operation of that life. Through the work of that spirit. Through the partaking of that divine nature. This man, this renewing is taking place. Starting from the spirit, and then it will work into the mind. The renewing of the mind. Then the emotions. Then the will. Then the inward being of this man is renewed. And now, not only is the spirit of this man the new creation, but even the soul of this man has entered into the new creation.
Amen.
And today this is taking place. Our Christian life. What is our Christian life? Our Christian life is a process of our whole being, tripartite being, coming out of the old creation into the new.
Amen.
Being free, liberated from that old creation with its corruption, its vanity, into the new. Paul says, not only the universe is groaning, but even we groan within ourselves. Did he not say that? Even we are groaning within ourselves. The universe is groaning, awaiting for the appearance, the manifestation of the sons of God. Because it's only in the glory of that revelation will they be free from corruption. But we also are groaning. In Romans 8, it tells us, we don't know how we should pray, am I right?
Yeah.
But what? But the Spirit within us groans according to the mind of Christ. What is that groaning about? Just because we had a bad day? What is that groaning about in Romans 8? The universe is groaning for something. We are groaning for the same thing. But we groan subjectively. They groan objectively because they're not part of it. They're waiting to have an outward deliverance and liberation. The key part is in the subjective work in God's believers, in God's chosen ones, in God's elect, whom he has destined, predestinated, to be conformed to the image of God's firstborn Son.
Amen.
And today we are in that process, brothers and sisters. The process of being designated to become sons of God is exactly the process of us fully becoming the new creation.
Amen.
Spirit and soul and eventually our body. So, dear saints, this is the new creation. Now, we come to the other verse, that verse in Galatians chapter 6. It says this, Paul was arguing with the Galatians because they were being defrauded, they were being distracted by what they were delivered from. What is that? The law. With its ordinances, particularly this practice called circumcision. You know, like cutting off the skin I mean, can you believe it? These are Galatians, saved ones, and they now are being what? Brought back by the Judaizers to keep the law. You know, last night I mentioned the difference between the Old Covenant and the New. Am I right? One of the main things is that the Old Covenant, which is based on the law, you have to work for it. You have to work. If you keep the law, then the covenant works. God will be pleased and bless you. It's all of works. Whereas the New Covenant is not of works, but all of faith. So they were being drawn back to works. They were being drawn back even to this, not even works, this kind of outward ritual called circumcision, thinking that will do something to them. My, how far they have gone, how much they have been deluded from faith, from the new covenant. Paul was making an argument, trying to rescue them. He said, circumcision is nothing. The real circumcision is the cross. That is real. And the Lord Jesus has died. He said, because of that death, that operative death, that real circumcision, that cross, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That really works. But he said what? Then he went on. He says, neither circumcision is anything, but even uncircumcision is nothing. Then you boast, well, I'm not circumcised. Not like you. You're circumcised. You know the Jews, you know, this is the key practice. Well, even the boast of uncircumcision is nothing, because both are in the realm of the old creation. Whether you keep the law, you don't keep the law, whether you are still the old creation, and you are barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. God is not there. He is not against, he's not there. It says what? But a new creation is what matters. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're in the church life. We're Christians. What are we doing here? What are we paying attention to every day? I'm afraid some church life, they're in the realm of circumcision or uncircumcision. It's this, it's that, it's this or that, when none of those means anything to God. God cares for what? A new creation. God cares for working himself into you. Amen. God cares for what? More dispensing. Amen. God cares for more mingling. Amen. If there would be any kind of circumcision, God cares for the work of the cross in you, which we need to take up his cross and follow him. That's the real circumcision. Now, I come to this point. That's the next verse. And that means it follows the last verse. As many as walk by this rule. There's a very important phrase here. As many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy even upon the Israel of God. So I will cover this and I'm done with this message. The important thing, brothers and sisters, today, all of us who are the new creation, are you not?
Yes.
At least one point something part of us, right? Is the new creation.
Amen.
We're groaning for more, right? That's why we need to contact the Lord. That's why we need to call on his name. That's why we need to be revived in the morning. That's why we need to eat his word. That's why we need to deal with the flesh, the old man, the natural disposition. Why are all these necessary? These are all necessary because it is a transit from the old to the new.
Amen.
We're being renewed day by day, becoming the new creation. Now, my burden this morning is on this word, walk. As many as walk by this rule. What rule? If you read the context, that simply refers to the rule of the new creation. New creation is also a rule. A rule. And Paul charged the believers, the Galatians, don't walk by the law. Don't be keepers of these ordinances. It go nowhere. You're still fumbling around in the old creation. You need to walk by a different rule. There's a rule here, and that's not the law. That rule is simply the new creation itself. Walk by that rule. Now, the key here is this, brothers and sisters. We cannot just be satisfied. We are the new creation. Behold, I'm the new creation. It's wonderful. We'll celebrate. But today, what is the church life? What is the Christian life? It's simply this. It's simply a walk. A walk that will keep us in the condition of the new creation. We may be a new creation in name, but I look at your walk, it's all the old creation. And you say, what is that? You're walking in your flesh. You are man according to the flesh. You're still living by your natural man. You're still living with the I, the self. You are a new creation, but your walk is not according to that rule. It's according to some old rule. And that rule, old rule, is the old creation rule. You may love. Oh, I love. But I sense in your love natural. Honey. Are you with me? Good. But the old creation. You are not walking by that rule. You may be doing good works. You may have a certain kind of religious zeal. Of course, I don't need to mention the bad stuff. You know, the sinful things. The lewd things, the evil things. The worldly things. I don't need to talk about that. You all know that. That is really the old creation. But something that is hard for us to detect is something good. Good, you're good. But you're not new, you're old. You're walking by the wrong rule. There's one rule for all believers to walk by. And that is this rule. You know that word walk here, this word walk, study Greek. There's two walks in the New Testament. One is a general walk, like me, you know, just walking around like this. That's one kind of walk. Then there's another kind of walk, and that is what? Like, you know, I went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Have you been there? You should go there, right? You're locals, right? You should. I mean, rain or shine, snow or sleet, day or night. There's this one soldier. There's one soldier. With a rifle, fully dressed, marching back and forth. And I look at some of the ways they were trained. I mean, every step to the inch, it's all counted. Perfect. The cadence, even the time they get from point A to point B is exactly the same. whoever is marching that, doing that march. Do you know this? The way they turn, you know what I mean. That's this walk here. It's a military walk. It's a walk according to a cadence. It's a cadenced walk. It's a walk, not just walking around. It's a walk with a goal, with a direction, with an aim. It's a disciplined walk. Now, we need both kind of walks. We do. And even in Galatians, talk about in Galatians, you do have those walk. In verse 16, chapter 5, you have one kind of a walk. One kind of a walk. That's just general walk, just moving about in your daily life ordinarily. I believe these soldiers, they all have when they take off their uniform, they go home. They also walk generally. Everyone does that. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. In fact, there are two walks by the Spirit in Galatians, this very chapter, verse 16 and verse 25. You go home and read it. The first walk is this general walk. We need to walk. It's still part of the new creation. To walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Every day, dear brothers and sisters, what do we do in our daily life? We should be people not only in Christ, hallelujah, we should be those what? What did Paul say in Colossians? So walk in him. Since you are in him, now don't just celebrate your position. Now walk in him.
Amen.
Live in him.
Amen.
Conduct yourself in him.
Amen.
Do things in him. Walk by the Spirit. Romans 8, walk according to the Spirit. That means we have to set our mind on the Spirit. We have to heed the Spirit. We have to touch the Spirit. We have not to not grieve the Spirit. Before you say something, touch the Spirit. Before you make a decision, contact the Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this has to be our church life. This has to be real. The option is only one, walk in the flesh, by the flesh, good or bad, still the flesh. And the result is death. The other, life and peace. Life and peace. No wonder it says peace upon them. Well, here is another walk. The walk in verse 25 in Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This walk here is the kind of walk that I talk about. To observe a rule. To walk in line, like marching. To walk in military rank. To keep in step. To walk in a regulated way. You know, for us, dear saints, in the recovery, the first walk is not enough. The first walk is good for your Christian being, you know. In the church life, we have to acquire, be trained to have a second walk. And this is the walk of the new creation. This is a walk where we walk, not in the flesh, not according to our natural man, a walk that is not according to the self, you know, and its preferences and desires. A walk rejecting our disposition. A walk with a goal. That goal is God's economy, God's purpose, which is what? Which is to build up the church, which is to build up his body, which is to gain the one new man.
Amen.
This is a walk that we need in the church life. Because the church life is not just another Christian group. place. The church life is where we fulfill God's eternal purpose in this age. So this calls for a much stricter walk. And that walk is the walk of a new creation.
Amen.
Here is not a matter of ethics, morality. This walk is a walk that is fully according to the life of God.
Amen.
A walk that takes Christ as our rule and element. A walk that is neither religious nor unreligious, but Christ.
Amen.
This walk is to live the divine life in our human life. This is the walk of a real God-man. A walk strictly in this organic union. This walk is very regulated. You know, that soldier, huh? Have you seen it? I mean, I was standing behind the ropes, you know what I mean? You can't go near, you have to watch it. And some people make noises and, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, they will not be distracted. They don't get who is out there. Even the president comes, they will not look at him. They just are doing this for I don't know how many minutes on end. You know, to guard the tomb. That's it. And they consider, you know, any soldier who are part of this contingent has a special badge. And you earn it. You just, not anyone can qualify. You earn it, that badge. Brothers and sisters, this kind of walk by the Spirit is most needed in our church life today.
Amen.
To build up the church. You may be satisfied with your first walk, but this walk is to satisfy God.
Amen.
There are many good Christians, even spiritual ones today, and I'm not against that. I thank the Lord for my brothers and sisters. So I'm not here to denigrate, you know what I mean, speak ill of Christians. I'm not. Because we have to look at ourselves, we're not that, oftentimes not that much better. This is a word meant for all. God will not be satisfied with just Christians who are in the first walk. That's good for them. But to gain this new creation, he must have a group of people doing the second walk, this higher walk. And I would say, and I will end soon, this walk is the walk of the church. This is the walk of the Lord's recovery. This is the walk of the overcomers.
Amen.
In every locality, and I can say this, there needs to be some brothers and sisters who are engaged in this second walk. They will be the Zion in Jerusalem. They will be the what will hold up the Lord's testimony. This overcomer's walk is the walk of the new creation. They will die to themselves so that they can be built with the saints. They don't care for their own future and rank and position, anything. They just care for God's interest exclusively. They have nothing to protect. They have no personal agenda. They have no secret expectation of anything. They just walk like this soldier. That one man walking back and forth, would you not agree with me, represents this nation? That one GI, one soldier doing that is representing the whole nation as far as it's honoring those who died in wars. Am I right? In Arlington Cemetery. But that walk is just by one man, one soldier like this. Today, I will tell you part of this walk, according to the new creation rule, is a corporate walk. It's a walk not alone, but a walk with some others, with the saints. In other words, this is a corporate walk and not a divisive one. To walk this way, you have to reject diverse mindedness. You have to reject your opinions. You have to die to your kind of disposition. You really, really just live by another life, the divine life. Oh, we need more such brothers and sisters in the church today. Many more who would walk this way. And they will guard the church. They will represent the church. You know, here it says, and I must end, it says, peace be upon them and mercy, even upon the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God here? This is the real Israel, not just the old Israel. However, this Israel does comprise all the Gentiles and Jewish believers, as long as they are real believers in Christ, who are the real sons of Abraham and the real household of the faith. This Israel, excuse me, are comprised of those who are part of the new creation. They walk by the rule. They are now, listen, really fulfilling God's initial work in creating them with His image and His likeness. Because these ones, as God's new creation, by walking this way, is expressing God and representing His authority. They have become, this recent training, the Jacob and Joseph of the day. Matured, transformed, or in our words, renewed. A prince of God, which is what Israel means. You remember this summer training, right? Jacob and Joseph being one person. One is the mature part, the other is the reigning part. That is what God wants on the earth. That's the picture of the new creation. Amen. In one man. Now this Israel is a corporate man. The church today should be the Israel of God. And that is possible only when the church lives as the new creation. in the condition of the new creation by walking according to the rule of the new creation. Saints, I feel my burden is discharged. Whether you like it or not, or however you feel, that's all I can say now.
Amen.
Are you okay?
Amen.
Then you say, what about these verses? These are a lot on the walk. You know here, after it talks about we're baptized into Christ, it talks about so we should now walk in the newness of life. That becoming a new creation is just the entry point. Now, after you become the new creation, you need to walk in the newness of life. This verse is what? To walk according to the Spirit, you know, here. And all these verses here I have, well, of course, here in Galatians 5, all these are on the walk that I just talked about. And these verses I throw in here, it is about that creation, the old creation groaning, you know, waiting for the sons of God. And this new creation is, at the end, the corporate sonship.
Amen.
And it will manifest itself. And when it manifests itself in glory, that will be the time when the whole old creation is liberated. And God will have succeeded in gaining what he won.
Amen.
Amen. I stop, huh? How about you say something, right? Put the two things out and please say something.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord touch you, young or old, it does not matter. Just confirm this word.
Amen. Amen.